Blog Talk Radio.
Yo, 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 check this out. This is Fresh Get Out the China Man with the 2 Live Crew.
Yo, yo, what's up, y'all? It's me, DMC.
What's up, y'all? This is the Blunt Master P.
Yo, check us out. Chuck the Public Enemy.
Yo, what's up? This is DJ Yella from the world's most dangerous group.
What's up? This is DLC.
This is your boy, C-Murder.
This is Jerry Heller, motherfucker.
This is your boy, DJ Paul KOL 365.
Young Busy Ball.
Vice One.
Yo, this is DJ Reddy Red.
What up, what up, what up? This is the real Rick Ross. You listen to me on the Murder Master Music Show.
This is a show that shows no limits, broadcast nothing but the real. Interviews with legendary artists, still got love for the underground feel. Rappers with records revealing that each of the rappers are coming up, getting put on. We need a new platform to fight the meme. The show that you need to be on. Hit up UGS for life on the screen and follow with Witches.com. For all of your needs, production and mixing and mastering graphics, just download the song. Check out the archives and hundreds of shows. Plenty of content for you to do. Everything free to download the stream. Oh yeah, we deserve the real.
We
got the gold,
we beat, we brought our bitch, we represent. All them killers on the mic, we should love to all you fans. Baby, keep the focus, bringing nothing but the rhythm, coming tune into the dopest.
I'm a man-made guy, crazy, knocking all you rappers off. It's underground society, it's UGS for life, dog. Hip-hop, AD, representing for them legends. Rapping mumble rappers, so we ain't sitting on the hip. Two pocket beats, dreaming, thank you for the bliss. It's a murder master music show. Free the homie gang to grow. I see these rappers on these streets, I got my chop about to blow. Stay up on that raw shit, uncut street shit.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to episode 530 of the Murder Master Music Show. It's your boy Prez, right here at UGS Radio. Tonight we got a special guest. For those of you that actually appreciate lyrics, a huge majority of the people out there nowadays seem to agree that lyrics need to come back in hip-hop. I mean, all this bullshit that the lamestream is pushing right now is catered towards trends before talent, you know, and that's not the way it should be. I've been covering artists since the 90s, and we always focused on talented, MCs, talented producers, talented DJs, whatever it may be. Nowadays, it seems like you got these motherfuckers that just want to pay homage to legends once in a while or chop it up with talented underground artists once in a while or whatever. But then the rest of the focus is on, these mumble rappers. You know, and I'm just sick of these motherfuckers. You know what I'm saying? It's ridiculous, and it's at the point where you even have people like Ebro, who's talking about, oh man, there's a conspiracy to dumb down hip hop, and I'm thinking, Ebro, you stupid motherfucker, you're part of it. You'll say that, and then in the next breath, you'll be like, all right, we got to go to a song here, check out this new Little Yachty. You know what I'm saying? You're contradicting motherfuckers. Same with Funk Flex. He's over there getting all rowdy and upset and amped up. All the lyrics are gone and this, this, and that. But what does he do? He showcases bullshit. You know what I'm saying? That's why I'm proud tonight to have Diabolik on. You know what I'm saying? This guy is he's a real deal. He's all about lyrics. He's all about talent, substance in his music. And, man, without further ado, let's bring him on. Let's chop it up with him. What is up, Diabolik? How you doing, man?
Welcome to I'm chilling, man.
I just went on a little rant a little bit, you know, because we've always focused on talented artists here. And if you look at what's going on right now in hip-hop, I see a lot of bullshit. At the high levels of hip-hop, I'm talking about. I see a lot of just stuff that shouldn't even really be considered hip-hop, if you ask me. I mean, a lot of people say, oh, you're an old grumpy hater, and yeah, okay, whatever. But my point is this, why not showcase talent before trends, you know what I'm saying? Because artists like yourself, artists like K-Reno, and I can go on and on, you guys seem to get overlooked for these bullshit rappers. How does that make you feel, being somebody who takes the craft serious?
Well, I mean, Things took a turn many years ago, but I kind of played played the game for a short period, very short period of time, you know, the industrial side of things, and just kind of realized that that shit is not for me, you know. So being more of an underground artist was a pretty conscious choice. It wasn't something I was really forced into, but I mean, people would call me crazy if they knew what I really thought, you know, like they think I'm completely insane. I think it's all part of a bigger scheme. I don't think it's just music related. I think it's a whole cultural thing altogether.
Well,
you know, something like that. Yeah. It goes into the education system. It goes into music. It goes into them flooding the streets with drugs. It's they want people stupid. They want people stupid. You know, you got these, you know, a war on drugs, and you got all these people. These music companies are the same people investing in private prisons and selling basically a criminal culture, a drug culture to the kids. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's like they started glamorizing pill popping and you know, like, don't get me wrong. We've all done dirt, you know, growing up and shit. But you never hear me on a record bragging about, you know, how many Xanax I did. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's not something you really it was never something you bragged about. You know what I'm saying? But,
no.
You know, you got this whole wavy culture. You got
the
mumbo rap. Yeah. you talk about it, you might want to enlighten people to it. You know, that would be more of a serious topic that you would touch. But these people they're like bragging about depression and bragging about, you know, snorting Percocet and shit. It's kind of wild to me. But
I
think it goes into a bigger plan, you know, because like the RIAA, all these, you know, the kind of foundations within music. These companies kind of collaborate on things. They don't put out things that aren't, you know, played to a certain key and aren't talking about a certain topic that don't sound a certain way. And there's a reason for that. You know, if you go all the way to the top, there's a reason for that. They're not putting out innovators anymore. They're not putting out inventors anymore. They're just putting out carbon copies of the same fucking thing. And it's not just because it works.
Over.
On that massive scale they have, you could sell anything. If you beat people over the head with it, you could sell me the same way you could sell Lil Yachty. You could sell anybody. You know, but they choose certain things over others. And I truly believe there's a reason for that.
Yeah, I believe. You're not crazy, man. I believe it too. We've been saying it for years. You know what I'm saying? And I believe that you know, they tried to infiltrate hip hop in the 80s and 90s. They couldn't do it successfully. But eventually, I mean, now this is where people might think I'm crazy, but I think hip hop was infiltrated by one of these guys like a Puffy or something. One of these motherfuckers, and they came in and they just started dumbing it down, working for a higher power. Because a lot of these guys, you know what I'm saying, the Jay-Z's, the Puffy's, they're rubbing elbows with these elite guys at the top. So, I mean, you know, there is a chance. I mean, there's a big chance, I think. You know,
Once it got corporatized, you know, it definitely changed. It took a turn for the worse when, you know, it was in the 80s and the early or mid 90s and stuff, before the internet became like a major factor in it, it was getting corporate, but it was subsidiaries. Like, they didn't really have a grasp on how powerful it was yet. And you could see, because, like, I mean, even Raucus, like, people like to sing Raucus's praises. Oh, that's an indie. Raucus was not an indie. You know what I'm saying? They were a subsidiary. I think Priority was or somebody, one of these majors own them. And there was more freedom to do what you want. They were pushing a different kind of product, you know.
Yeah,
even I caught like a minute of you talking where you were talking about Ebro, and Ebro's a fucking clown in and of himself. He's just a fucking joke. But you look at Funk Flex, he'll sit there and complain about it, and he might really mean that shit. He also doesn't have the power to control the program directors, because they'll get, I mean, he has a lot of power as a DJ and with his name, but they might just give him the fucking boot too if he doesn't play what he's told. You know what I'm saying?
They give him the star treatment and boot him out of there. And
right.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Yeah,
but
the program
director. He's playing the records. It's like it's not like people from the 90s that were popping aren't putting records out. They're putting records out.
Yeah,
you know,
they're still
putting records out. Nobody's burning them, though. Why aren't they burning them? These guys were famous to you. You know, you were burning their records back then. Now you won't even, they're dropping a new record. You won't even give them a little play the day their record drops or something. You know what I mean? They don't do nothing. They don't show any love to any, like, real artists at all anymore.
No. Right now, it's even guys like
a guy like Scarface. You know, like, a guy like Scarface is like a legendary hip-hop artist. You don't hear them.
No.
If he dropped a new record tomorrow, I would never know. You know what I'm saying? It's not like they'd even give it a little bit of play. They won't even give him a little play. So a person like me, I'm fucked. I don't even stand a chance with that.
Yeah. And you know, like last year, there was some great albums. MC Shan dropped his first album in almost 30 years. It's called Bars Over Bullshit. Phenomenal record. You know what I'm saying? People didn't even know it dropped, like you said. You know, there's a lot of stuff out there that's real good. It's just getting overshadowed by this bullshit, or it's oversaturation too. That's, you got to put that in the mix too, because everybody and their mother's a rapper nowadays. Anybody with a computer program and a mic, you know, is a rapper. So you got to kind of sift through everything to find the gems in the rough, so to speak. So. You know.
Yeah, that's something I was kind of conscious of. I mean, I'm upping my output way more than I usually do, but that was something I was always conscious of, like where, I mean, I should have done a little more, but I always kind of said, like, I don't know, I don't want to be doing what everybody else is doing, dropping a record every other week. It's a good way to make people get sick of you, you know?
No. Well,
then you got
for someone
now, you
like
got these
yourself,
kids.
Though, when you were coming up, you had to earn... You know what I'm saying? Your respect as an MC, as an artist. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Nowadays, you just throw a beat, just whatever the fuck comes out of your mouth, a gurgle or whatever, and, you know,
a lot of
that's considered music. It's like, oh, man. You know, what was it like
for
you as an artist coming up with other talented artists around you and having to, you know what I'm saying, work your way up to the top as a respected artist? What
was
it like coming up in those days with the Vinnie Pazes and the Ill Bills and, you know what I'm saying, these lyrical titans
It was a fun time. It was just more organic, you know. It was just, you know, the people that were going to shined. You know what I'm saying? That's basically how it was. And, I mean, a lot of it's work ethic, too, you know. Like, you gotta bust your ass. You got to get out there. You had to leave the house back then. That was part of it. Now these people ain't leaving the crib no more and doing anything, you know? Like, everything's online, you know? You go to half these hip-hop shows, they're fucking terrible. I know kids that are, like, getting popping online. They're from around my way. I don't know who the fuck they are. I've never seen them before anywhere, you know? You never see them out. It was, you know, back then, you had to leave. You had to be you had to be able to back up what you were saying, too. You know, that was another thing. That was when people were ciphering, you were rapping face-to-face, you were in spots. You couldn't talk all this reckless shit that these kids are talking now. They talk wild shit. If you talked like that back then, you might get punched in your face, you know? But things change, you know? The internet's a pussy's paradise. That's what happens. It's really it. You still got me there? Yo. Am I back?
Yeah, you there?
Yeah, I'm back.
I was just asking you before we lost you. I was just asking you, what does it feel like to be considered one of the, you know, saying one of the great lyricists?
Shit, I don't know. I never really thought about it. I mean, it kind of fucks me up because I can't take any days off. You know what I'm saying? I kind of got to keep that standard up, or else it makes it real easy to fall off. You know? But nah, I like it, man. I mean, that's always what I was into, was just rapping good and saying dope shit. That was kind of our thing out here, and so it kind of came natural, you know. And I don't know. I just kind of figured it out one day. I was like, I don't know, maybe 17, 18 years old, and I was writing. And I could always kind of put words together pretty good. But then one day, I don't know, I was writing and I just kind of figured something out. I don't know. With the combinations of words and kind of like how, like just the way I go about writing. And it just kind of made sense to me. I don't know. It's almost mathematical. So it wasn't too hard, but I like it, you know. Makes my life easier, you know. I get to do what the fuck I want and have people check it, you know.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, definitely. You got that freedom, you know what I'm saying. You're not required to wear skinny jeans and tattoo your face, you know. So,
I mean, yeah, I could. I guess I could, right?
You could. Yeah. You could. I mean, I could put goldenpalace.com on my forehead, too. I think I might get a $20 for it, but I'm not going to do it. You know what I'm saying? And,
make yourself a walking motherfucking billboard.
Yeah. You put brands and logos all over yourself. I mean, Jesus Christ. Let's get one of these bangers you sent me. Show what real hip hop is about, man. Let's go with this diabolical sound, man. Why don't you tell everybody about this one?
It's the shit I did with DJ Premier on Fightin' Words, the last album I put out. It pretty much speaks for itself. Me, Diabolic, DJ Premier. There you have it.
Hell yeah. We'll be right back.
The whole underworld worries me less than a single man. Diabolic.
With a diabolic sound coming through your speaker. With a diabolic sound coming through your speaker. With a diabolic sound coming through your speaker. With a diabolic sound coming through your speaker.
Brace yourself for impact. I'm raising hell with syntax, like Satan cast an ancient spell on this track. An angel fell who stays compelled to spit raps. And what the majors sell, he ain't afraid to tell you shit's whack. Now blaze an Atlas sit back, crack a six pack and sip that, till it's pitch black while you chit chat. This that, dark side of a psychopath, blacking out, so we don't see the light of the righteous path. He'll strike as fast as lightning with Titan's glass, smash your mics in half, laughing like he's siphoning nitrous gas. Type of wrath from Old Testament stories told. Anything you do to me's coming back 40-fold. 40 days and 40 nights and 40 shows with shorty so horny they want my dick in a glory hole. So y'all should know, I will murder these tracks till I'm on my last leg like an amputee's kneecap. It seems that every time I hear a C's rap, the voices in my head scream at me saying he's whack. These cats act like bitches, their vaginas sore, like dinosaurs crawled out their cervix in their hymen tore. I'm designed for war, on the Long Island shore, swinging a rapper's severed head by his spinal cord. In a blind rage, on a drunken tirade, it's a diversion while me and Preem mastermind the crime wave. Every verse I brainstorm makes hurricanes form. Wind gusts that flip trucks, rain and burn and napalm. Too many rappers here get on my nerves to stay calm. Put on the radio and heard the same songs all day long. It's mind numbing like doctors squeezing forceps to load my brain with Novocaine in my cerebral cortex. Season warfed, piss on these people's doorsteps like suck my dick soaked in 3 weeks of ball sweat. My co-following shares the same perspective. They die for their beliefs like Dave Koresh in Waco, Texas. Deranged and reckless, what I say's infectious. Plus, Prima scratching till needles snap and break the records. The label pressed it, giving y'all the extreme. A sick fuck like sex scenes from Ed Gein's Wet Dreams. I'm getting open, a soul with less emotion. Cold as a cryogenic potion, Walt Disney's head is frozen. Set in motion, and momentum's building up. I can feel the rush like a vanilla Dutch filled with dust. This high class dime's attached to my shaft, and I'm fast to getting their guts like gastric bypass. Why ask why? I don't bat an eyelash. And if you're after my cash, then kiss the crack of my ass while I drop manure and take a shot of doers with those underground villains like Bane and Gotham Sewers.
Hip hop, folks. Diabolic is bringing back on. Yeah, man. That's what I'm talking about right there. You know, I grew up in the 80s. You know what I'm saying? And 90s, and you know, had nothing but dope shit back then. From all over. You know, you notice there was distinction too back then. Like you said earlier, things sounded similar and redundant. back then you knew if someone was from Houston or from the Bay Area or from Long Island, wherever. You knew it. Now there's
yeah.
no distinction. You know, and
none.
A guy from
none.
Atlanta
I hear
sounds
I
just like a guy from New York.
Time.
Yeah.
I still make it a point. Like, I don't record at home. Like, I know a lot of people have done home recording, which would probably be more efficient to produce more music. But I like going to the studio. I like the process of it. I like going in with somebody else and working on music. It's just how I've always done it. And, you know, so I'll be in these spots out here. And one spot in particular, it's got a lot of traffic. And I hear some of the shit that goes on out here. And I'm in Long Island, same place I always was. And, I mean, these kids might as well be, you know, in Atlanta doing hip-hop or Mississippi or some shit. They're making music. They're not from here. I hear kids from Harlem. Like, if you go listen to these kids rapping, it's like, that's not your accent. You know what I'm saying? You're talking like you're from the South or something. It's kind of weird to me. They all rap
yeah.
the same. It's all like, I don't know. I guess they, what do they call it? Mumble rap now? Mumble, like, a lot of auto-tune, like, you know. It's funny style. I don't know.
It's
a homogenized world we live in, man. It's homogenized. They've watered down the whole culture.
You know, 500 years from now, the aliens are going to come here. They're going to find texts, and all it's going to be is emojis. You know what I mean? Jesus Christ, if this is going to be the mark we're going to leave, we're in trouble. But, yeah, man, it's crazy. How, you know, K-Reno, I don't know if you're familiar with him. He's one of the most lyrical cats in the game. He's out of Houston. He dropped 7 albums in 2016 in November on the same day. All fucking heat, all lyrics. 7 albums. No artist has ever done that. Didn't get any recognition. You know what I'm saying? And that's when it's like, man, what the fuck's going on? You know, when someone's doing something like that or someone's putting out a good quality music, you know, you put out a good quality album, it needs to be, you know what I'm saying, showcased. People need to cover it. And I believe hip-hop journalists, they're not doing their job if they're not covering the cats like Diabolik or K-Reno. They need to go out there and focus on you guys, man.
Yo, it's a struggle. It's definitely a struggle.
Promote an album in this industry. You know, when you drop a product, how hard is it for you to get heard?
I mean, I go directly to social media and kind of just
yeah.
go directly to fans that I have already. And then, I mean, to be honest with you, I let, if there's any rappers listening, I'm going to let them in on a secret. As far as blogs and getting placements on internet websites and all that bullshit, that does fucking nothing unless you have a major push. Like, if you're getting radio
yeah.
burn, you're on the blogs every fucking day of every month, you're getting constant coverage year-round, it'll do something. But if you're just popping up when you got a project, getting this blog coverage, thinking it's going to do something, it's going to do nothing. It doesn't generate any traffic to your music. And I could give you an anecdotal situation where I proved that. In 2012, I dropped a video for a song called Mission Statement, right? I just
uh-huh.
put it out there. I was throwing it on YouTube, hitting the social media with it. I got a couple places to pick it up, you know, whatever I could. My dude, Semp, from a company called Public Wizard, who worked like my publicity for Liar and a Thief, he hit up Hip Hop DX and got them to pick it up. I wasn't aware. I didn't even know he did it. He just got them to pick it up and give it a feature. So without knowing, I never, like, retweeted it or, you know, put it on Facebook or any of that shit at the time. So, you know, I didn't use my social media to get kids to click that fucking link to Hip Hop DX. So when Fightin' Words dropped in 2014, fucking, we were going to Hip Hop DX, and I had another guy, Matt, who was doing my PR at the time. Hip Hop DX was giving him a problem about picking up the DJ Premier record, picking up the video for that, which blew my mind. I'm like, yeah, I got a record with DJ Premier. Hip Hop DX isn't going to pick up the record? What are you guys, fucking crazy? And they're like, oh, well, you know, last time we posted a Diabolik thing, it didn't get it, you know, it didn't generate the traffic that we want, da 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 da. So I'm like, what the fuck are they even talking about? Liar and the Thief did great. And they're like, no, it was a song called Mission Statement. That I was like, what? I didn't even know they picked it up.
Yeah.
So I took a fucking link from 2012 from Hip Hop DX that I didn't even know was there for 2 years. In 2014,
reposted it, went to the fans on Facebook and Twitter and said, yo, Hip Hop DX is giving me shit because I never retweeted this. Let's show them how we do it. And it got like 1,500 hits in an hour.
Yeah.
It's just proof that a two-year-old link coming directly from me is what generated hits to them. They didn't generate any fucking hits for me, though. That's just proof of it. They proved it to me. They don't do shit for me. So really, all they do, the only use they have to me, Hip Hop DX or any of these sites for that matter, the only use they have is something for me to refeed to my fans, to legitimize what I'm doing. That's all it is. And it's mostly the other rappers that you're legitimizing it, people within the game. Now, you give me any fucking link. It could be any any website. I'll just repost it. Yo, check this, click this, new record out. Boom, here. That's all I need. It's just some place. It's just a place to host what I'm doing for the moment. Otherwise, they don't do anything for me. Their traffic does nothing for me. Those kids ain't checking for my shit on there. They're checking for fucking Gucci Mane or fucking Drake or somebody. They ain't in there looking for me.
Yeah,
they don't
true.
Do shit for you.
Hey, man,
so really,
show,
I mean,
we got a smaller platform. Not to cut you off, but we've been featured on every one of those sites, man, and it really didn't do shit. A few likes here and there, a few followers here and there. That's about it. We got all our shit pretty much organically on our own, grinding hard and doing these interviews, you know?
Exactly. Just networking, interacting, putting out product. That's all it is. And dealing with these sites, I mean, it would be massively expensive to fucking to have the coverage that you need for it to actually ever make an impact. You'd have to have a lot of money behind you. And unless you can spend that kind of money, you're better off just doing Facebook promo or Instagram promo. You know, paying for ads on there and targeting it towards people that like the type of shit that you are doing and just getting direct targeted promotion via the internet, throwing, I don't know, a few $100 towards a Facebook ad for the video you're doing. Or, you know what I'm saying? You're better off doing that than paying for these blogs and shit.
Yeah, it's crazy, man. I had an artist I was working with. I got him signed to RBC Records 2 years back, and they wanted us to buy an ad at Worldstar, like a banner over there. And the price, I forget what it was exactly, but it was just ridiculous. It's like, man, we could have took that money and done so much other street promotions and got it in different, the few mom-and-pop shops that are left and different things like that, videos, whatever you want, versus buying one banner. You know what I'm saying? For an astronomical price on one site. It's like, nah.
See, Worldstar might actually do something. See, that's the funny thing is Worldstar, like, I don't know about a banner because that's probably expensive as fuck, but a Worldstar placement, which I got placed on Worldstar with Frontlines for nothing, but that was 2010.
Yeah.
It was a little different back then. Now Worldstar's, I'm pretty sure, I don't know, I haven't reached out to them in years, so I wouldn't know, but, you know, it definitely got, I got like 100,000 views out of them back then.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah, well,
and
that's a phenomenal record, by the way, man. I believe it touched millions of people, didn't it?
Oh, yeah, it got a lot of fucking YouTube views, I know that.
Yeah.
It was cool when YouTube was paying.
Yeah, before YouTube, oh, man, that's...
Yeah, before the, what do the kids call it, the adpocalypse with the fucking, the election and shit, all of a sudden the quote-unquote fake news shit hit. All of a sudden, one day with Frontline, I got demonetized on that video, I guess because we got, like, the guns in it at first, you know, and I got demonetized and ripped off of 1,500 playlists in one day. I appealed it, they remonetized it, but I never got back on the playlists I was on, so I'm not coming up in the fucking, in the search bars anymore. It still gets a ton of views, but it doesn't generate the same fucking monetary shit it did. Because it was on those playlists. And now,
it's horrible.
It hit everybody.
Yeah, that's horrible, man. That's another form of monopolization. But, Dybog, we're going to go on this next song here in a second. I know we got a caller on the line from Francis, the homie Sin. Sin, how you doing, brother?
Hi, Scott. And hi, Diabolik. I'm fine.
What's good, man?
It's good too. I have a question about your song Club Hater with the Smooth the Hustler on the full play mixtape, and also about Order and Chaos with the Ill Bill. Can you tell us about these two songs?
Order and Chaos, I think. Right?
Yeah, yeah. Club Hater, that was produced by DJ Dummy, who was actually one of the first guys in Long Island, like real professional musicians. DJ Dummy was Time and Sense's tour DJ, and he still might be, actually, for many years. And pretty famous DJ. He had started giving me studio time in Long Island to try to build my shit up in, like, the late 90s. And he knew Smooth the Hustler, and he said, yo, how did you feel about doing a record with Smooth? And I said, fucking hell yeah, you know? Absolutely. I'd love to. So me and Smooth got into the studio, and Stummy put the beat on, and we sat there for a couple hours and worked on it, came up with it, recorded it, and there you have it. We actually did like a white label short run, like vinyl of that, that circulated for a little bit too, in like 2000, maybe 2001, something like that. And it was floating around for a bit. But yeah, that was a good one. And then Order and Chaos with Ill Bill, that was produced by Engineer, who produced most of Liar and a Thief. Me and Bill had spoken about doing a record for my album, and Engineer sent me that beat, which was crazy. And I sent the beat to Bill with just a random verse on it. I said, this guy just put this on here. I don't know what I'm going to do with it. I said, do whatever you want to with it. There's no topic, that whatever the fuck you want to do, and I'll figure it out from there. And then Bill sent me back his verse, and it was telling that story, and it was like a fucking layup for me. It was like perfect. So then I wrote my verse kind of continuing the story he had set out, and, you know, finished off the story and filled in the samples and stuff from Dark Knight to complete the song and stuff. It was actually Bill. Bill was the easiest feature I've ever done, actually, Ill Bill. It was nothing. I talked to him. He sent me a verse like 3 days later, and it was like on the money. And it ended up coming out great. It's probably my favorite record on that album, to be honest with you.
Yes, sir. Right. And Fighting Words was a good album, too. Yeah.
Dope, yes, man.
Fighting
Words
was a dope album, too.
Yes, sir. Thank you, man. I appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you for calling, Finn. Much appreciation, bro.
Yes, sir. Appreciate
it. We're gonna go to another song here. This one's called The Alien Manuscript. Man, tell everybody about this one, Dieboss.
This was produced by Junior Macno. He sent me that beat, and I just fucking went in. And then that's me on the hook. We put a crazy effect on my voice to make me sound like an alien or something. But it's just bars. It's really all that song is. It's just bars on top of bars. And it's a little spaced out, a little dark. I got a video for that you can find on YouTube at Diabolik Hip Hop. That's pretty much where you'll find me on the internet.
Definitely. We're gonna play this, so we're gonna come back, chop it up with you for a few more. This is Alien Manuscript by Diabolik right here on the Murder Master Music Show. Don't go nowhere.
So this is the famous Diabolik.
What do we have here? Full of piss and vinegar, I see.
Yeah.
I'll make quick work of you.
I'm the epitome of sick. I live in infamy, spitting a written history, depicting my vision vividly. The industry is clearly tripping when I start a movement like Timothy Leary giving LSD to Harvard students. A sharp shooting marksman when the target's moving. I'm a fusion of the greatest parts from humans and a Martian mutant. Toward the world, got cigars from Cubans. Then sparked a dube in Amsterdam with Asians saying, perfect Nugan. Tomorrow's blueprint. Today my bars and mic connect ahead of its time. Spitting rhymes I haven't started writing yet. I'm the archetype. I'm not an artist like the rest. I'm picture perfect without Photoshop and dark and light effects. And yes, I got regrets. Understand I'm sharing that. But kept my guard up longer than fucking Hammond basking hats. I should open up and trust my fans to care, in fact. But I really need to know what the fuck this man is staring at. I'm sick of hearing that voice stuck inside my head like Simon Says, die, probably let the virus spread. Still the illest cat alive or dead. The raps we have will drive you crazier than Travis Bickle in a taxi cab. Got these tacky fat rappers breaking out the lab, cause heads are fake, like paper mache to escape from Alcatraz. Countless fags thinking their computer screen is on my transforming the superheroes on the web like Peter Parker. I won't be a part of that. This the art of rap from artists prophesizing carbon scratched on artifacts. Neanderthals drawing me rocking a starter hat while aliens from Mars attack as the moon and stars collapse.
I have read your manuscript, my friend. You plan on rising from peasant to king. You are quite dangerous. I have just a potion for you.
Now maybe I'm just tripping, but what if I've been sipping, summoned to the other side by souls of mummified Egyptians, saying my forefathers love the stuff that I've been spitting, and respect the drive of a guy stuck in my position. Those I'm governed by try corrupting my decisions, like correction officers who smuggle drugs inside a prison. But I'm risen, reach the top of Mount Olympus, and cast Zeus to the outer limits, somewhere south of Venice. A menace, like old dog, but learn some new tricks. My bars shine, now the dark side of the moon's lit. Bright enough to see the aliens and cruise ships and differences in the landing film by Stanley Kubrick. Imagine you mix Nas, Wu, and Q-Tip with Foo Sticks and Eminem on Raucus, I'm what you get. Now the shoe fits a dude strapping two sticks of dynamite with the fuse lit to your new kick. And I don't give two shits, I'm dropping scientists, superhuman in disguise, I am not as I appear. I'm the Viking warlord atop the biosphere, who could body cops and riot gear with rocks and flying spears. My career is the return of God that Mayans feared. When I appear on vinyl, your tribe will clock the final years. Shots collide with beers, and I'm a shock to eyes and ears. A legend of my predecessors getting props from pioneers. And to my peers, I'm Superman but sinister. I rule the land from Hoover Dam to the Yucatan Peninsula. A visitor from outer space taking human form, detonating a fusion bomb in the booth when music's on.
You are not of this world. You may have gotten the best of me this time. I'll see you on the other side.
Right, we're back. You know what I'm saying? Diabolik, man, it's more bars right there, man. It's bars over bullshit. Talent before trends, you know what I'm saying? That's what we want. Much props to you.
Thank you, brother.
What can we look forward from you in the future? You got anything coming up?
Yeah. I got a record finished called The Disconnect. That'll be out. I'm actually waiting on the artwork. I'm gonna hit my boy up tonight because he was supposed to give that to me Friday, and it is now Wednesday night. Welcome to the wonderful world of music, getting things done. But I'm looking. It's gonna be a summer release. I'm kind of aiming, well, what are we in now? We're in May already. I was aiming for the middle of June, so that's probably not going to happen. Maybe mid-July, beginning to mid-July, something like that. I'm going to pick a date as soon as I get my hands on this artwork and I can hand it in so I know, you know, it takes like pressing CDs is, you know, it's like maybe a month turnaround, but pressing vinyl is like 3 months, so, which I'm not going to wait for. I'll just have pre-orders up and people can kind of get their shit when it comes out, when it's ready, because I'm not going to wait an extra 3 months just to wait for the fucking vinyl to be done. So I'll kind of maybe halfway, I'll release it halfway as the vinyl will be done. Maybe they can expedite it a little bit, get it done a little quicker and get it on the shelves. But I'll have a release date as soon as I can hand everything in. And then I also got another record I finished up, produced by my homie Vanderslice, and we did it with Coal Mine Records. That'll be out later in the year. It's called Collusion, and
Collusion. Yeah, I haven't heard that.
Yeah. Vanderslice did a whole record. Yeah. So I got a couple records done, and I'm about 5 songs into another record that I've been working on. So I got a busy year coming up.
Oh, yeah,
definitely trying to up the output, you know. Dude, once I got out of Viper Records, I was like, I got to up the output because they move at a snail's pace, and I was just not happy there. Now that I'm out, I'm free as a bird.
Yeah, I know
free
you, man. You know, it was hard as hell. I tried to get an interview with you, you know, because we've been doing this show for years, and I contacted Viper Records I don't know how many times. It's like, hey, man, let me interview you. You know, same with Mortal Tech, you know what I'm saying? Can't get a hold of them guys.
Right, then you hit me up on fucking Facebook, and it's like, boom, we do it. You know what I'm
saying? Yeah, exactly. I mean, shit, you know, we've had, you know, and I tell them, you know, we've had DMC on here, rest in peace, Fresh Good Eyes, Two Life Crew, all kinds of legends and pioneers. It's like, who the hell are you, you know, Immortal Tech or whoever the fuck did to not come on the show? What happened with them guys, man? You said they move at a snail's pace. Were they keeping you on ice?
I mean, I don't know what the fuck they're doing up there, to be honest with you, because it's not a lack of money. It's just a lack of drive to be doing it, I think, more than anything. Like, I don't know. I can't call it, because it would be like pulling teeth to get anything done. It would just be like pulling teeth. You know, they got the in-house studio there. Getting in the studio with that fucking numbskull that records you is like, it was like pulling teeth. It was always something. You know, it was always something. It was always like, oh, well, I got to do this. I got to do it. It was just like getting some time to be recorded. It's like, yo, let's work on some fucking tunes, bro. This is our bread and butter. The more we get done, the better the fucking place does. The more money comes in, the better we all do. The fuck are we doing? I like making music. I don't know what everybody else likes doing, but I love being in the studio. I'm like a fucking studio rat when I can be. And it's like, I don't see what the holdup really is, but it was always something. You know, I don't know. Did they're penny pinchers when they don't have to be and with the wrong things, and then they'll spend money on stupid shit? It makes no sense. It made no sense being up there. I mean, look at Tech. How much music does he put out? He could sell anything right now, and he doesn't do it. How much merch does he have? You know, like things like that. He's been selling the same T-shirt for 15 years. It's like, you know, step your game up. You know, got any hats or something you might want to sling? You know, like, this is a fucking business at the end of the day. Like, let's get creative. Let's do some stuff. But, yeah, it was always like, you know, it was people blowing smoke telling you there was a fire. That's really what it was, and it was bullshit. I had to get the fuck up out of there.
You had to break away from that, and, yeah. That way you can do what you
and
want.
And then, boom,
to do.
I'll have, by the end of this year, I'll have as many records as he has out in 15 years. You know what I'm saying? If you think about it, I'll have more records out than he does.
And I've seen the battles
ridiculous.
You guys had on stage and everything. And then, of course, we talk about the front lines when you guys work together and all that. You know what I'm saying? You know, it happens in this business sometimes. You know, it happens in life. You come across people, you think things are going to go a certain way, and then it just doesn't work out. Are there any chances you and him ever, you, maybe even working together again in the future? Or, and, you know, I'm not saying you doing a record with him, but maybe, you know, show or something, or you think you guys are...
I don't know, man. I don't know. You know, me and him, we were friends a long time, dude. Like, that battle you saw, that's from, like, 2001, I think. I think that was.
Yeah, it was old.
You know, and I was on his record. Like, we were in the crowd selling his first album after that battle. You know, it was like we were rolling. And, you know, we toured the world together. We did a lot of stuff together for a lot of years. And, you know, I mean, for a lot of it, I kind of thought, you know, success went to his head a little bit. But, you know, I understand that's a thing. You know, that can happen to people. So I always kind of held on to this idea. Now, you know, it'll settle in. He'll start to fucking see the light. You know, ain't no thing. But then time passes and that never happens. You know what I mean? So I got the fuck out of Viper. We were still cool after I left Viper. It got a little tense for a little while, but we pieced things out. We talked about it, and, you know, he understood where I was coming from. I had to get the fuck out and go do my own thing. And, we had to, we just had to go our separate ways as far as, like, business-wise. Because, you know, I just looked at it like it wasn't worth, you know, kind of burning a friendship, because the business just is not working. And you know, it just wasn't, it wasn't a good thing. It wasn't a good scene. So I peeled. Really, the biggest falling out I've had with Technique is with this Quali shit. With the little beef I have with that fucking punk. And it was, you know, I don't involve my friends in that. It's not like I'm bringing in, like, yo, you guys got to have my back. I don't give a fuck. Talib Kweli is a cloudy day to me. I'll fucking throw him a beating of a lifetime. I fucking gave him an ass whooping on a record. I give him an ass whooping in real life. I'm not worried about it. But Talib Kweli is a fucking pussy. So he likes to bring other people in. So he kept bringing Technique's name into the mix of it all. Not me.
I had no, I didn't really have a choice in that. But point being is that when he brought Tech's name into it, unfortunately, and not by my choice, Tech is now involved. And when Tech decided to shut the fuck up and just keep his mouth shut, that makes me look like a dick when he was playing it politically. It was, it's the politics of this rap shit. That's what it was. That's all business decisions. That's all business. It's like they did a little tour together. He's afraid to, like, lose some fucking friends or something. I don't know, some industry connects or something. I don't know. The whole political climate, maybe. I couldn't tell you. But then Tech went on the internet there and was, like, apologizing to Quali's wife for the way I spoke to her. Like he has any say in the way I speak to anybody. And he should have involved himself. If you're not going to get involved, you shouldn't have got involved at all. And that's the way I looked at it. So basically, I just said to Quali and Tech, I said, okay, you guys can have each other. I'll fucking eat you both. You know, that's the way I look at it, is really what it is. Because Tech can't rap with me. He couldn't rap with me on his best fucking day. So that's how I'll have it. So basically, I probably never work with him again. Even if he apologized, I'd probably tell him to go fuck his mother.
You know.
Yo, dude, something I learned as I grew up is when people show you who they are, you should believe them. You know what I'm saying? And with friends, sometimes people tend to make excuses for their friends and the actions their friends do. But sometimes they show you who the fuck they are, and you need to believe them. And that's basically what it came down to with him. Is he turned out to be an industry bitch, and he's a fake fuck. You know, because, I mean, dude, if you break it down to brass tacks when it comes to Immortal Technique, where's this revolution? That shit took an 8-year fucking break when Obama was in office, right? That shit took 8 years off when Obama was there. Obama was doing the same dirty shit Bush was doing. Why'd you shut the fuck up when Obama was in there? You know why? Because he's a radical left-wing maniac, just like all these people. So the revolution isn't real. It's only a revolution when it suits your fucking narrative. It's all fraudulent. It's the same thing Quali does. Everybody was hunky-dory when Obama was there, even though Obama was doing the same shit, if not more, to fuck us. But now that Trump's back, everybody's back with their revolutionary talk.
That's what I
You know what I'm saying?
It's not right. It's not left. It's all of these motherfuckers. You know what I'm saying?
It is. And it always will be.
Yeah, no billionaire businessman or no Wall Street crony or no oil tycoon is going to ever be for the sick, elderly, and poor. It's just not going to happen. So, yeah, man, you're right, man. This, you know, you can't take a break when shit's still fucked up. You know,
yeah, and then that's what happened. Everybody, you know, they're out there doing their thing, you know, fuck this, fuck that at the shows. But there was no music dropped. There was no message being sent because they were happy with what they had. Oh, Obama's here to help us. Obama wasn't here to help nobody. Obama, you know, he shot off more drones than any president before or after him ever will. You know what I mean? He was running guns into Mexico and all this crazy shit. There was so much corruption.
There was a hospital, I think, in I don't know if it was Yemen or Afghanistan, it was somewhere, but it was all children and all the doctors got killed and, you know, it was just crazy.
Right. Which is run-of-the-mill for the government. It's pretty standard operation for the government, but the difference is when a Democrat's in office, the media doesn't talk about it. It's, like, acceptable. And when there's a Republican in office, they're all up in arms, like, oh, the world's ending. It's all bullshit. It's all bullshit.
It is.
To keep people divided.
You know, politics is bullshit. Religion. I grew up off George Carlin, so I was educated from the right guy.
Too.
You know, so I mean, you know, and other comedians. It's fucked up when you got to turn to your comedians to get the truth. You know, because you ain't getting it from the politicians, you ain't getting it from the news, and you ain't getting it from the church. So, you know, you got to get it from somewhere, I guess. But yeah, man, you're right, man. Shit is really fucked up. And it's not getting any better. You can't take time off. You know, what about, you said you would shoot the fair one with Talib Kweli, man. Has he ever responded? Does he want to take you up on the offer?
Nah, he won't do that.
You know, the homie from Celebrity Boxing, if y'all want to duke it out, maybe we can help
set it
up.
I'll do it in a heartbeat. If he would do it, I would do it in a heartbeat, but he won't do that. Quali's a pussy. Quali never been in a fist fight in his life. He would get laid the fuck out. He's mad pussy. You know, he's mad pussy. But it is what it is. At this point,
yeah.
I mean, I destroyed him on a record. He got me. That's why I got kicked off Twitter because of him. I said I got kicked off Twitter a couple weeks ago, actually, because I said the word retarded. Apparently, you can't say retarded. Retarded is hate speech now. Apparently, whatever the fuck hate speech is.
Can't
say the R word. I said somebody said something to me, and I said you say some retarded shit. And he reported me to Twitter, and they kicked me off Twitter. Permanent IP ban. Out of here.
Wow.
That's pretty funny, right? But these are the type of... That's hip-hop in 2018. These are the artists you're talking about, B. This is why I don't really play the game. You know, like, I like the underground. I'll go be the king of the underground and enjoy that because these fucking goofballs, the Immortal Techniques and the Qualies, the people that people think are so fucking real, if you saw them backstage, you'd puke in your mouth. You'd puke in your fucking mouth the way they act. The diva shit that these people pull. It's embarrassing. It's nothing new. I've seen it. It kind of disheartened me towards hip-hop as a whole, to be honest with you. People, they'll tell you, they'll be like, if you say that, though, they're like, oh, you're just old and bitter. No, it's just that I know now. That's the difference, is I got older, and I've seen a lot of shit behind the scenes, and I understand it now. I understand why the dudes that were actually street dudes, that were about their shit, that were about their craft, don't fuck with these people. They don't fuck with them. They don't like to travel in those circles. It's because these dudes are fraudulent. They're divas. They act like fucking little girls backstage and behind the scenes. They're very egotistical, and they're like they're very easily threatened, you know, about their spot on the totem pole, so to speak. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's really what it comes down to. It's pretty funny, but, you know, I've never been like that. I've always just been like, yeah, whatever, you know. Gives a fuck. Ain't nobody taking my spot. I'm good.
That,
you know,
with some rappers, man, they don't want to acknowledge other greats. You know what I'm saying? They don't want to acknowledge other people that have that talent. You see that in, you know what I'm saying, the world of horrorcore. You know, a lot of people want to mention, you know what I'm saying, certain artists, you know what I'm saying, but they never want to bring up Gangsta Nip. You know what I'm saying? That dude was on Rap A Lot Records. He wrote Chucky for Bushwick Bill, you know, back in 91. You know,
right.
Who was really doing that type of music before that? You know, I mean, it's all across the board like that, though, man, sadly.
It's not
really like
you
that in other genres. You notice that, man? You notice, like, you don't see people in different genres of music, you know, not paying homage to those before them or not respecting other greats. They want to work together. They want to get it in and work together. Nowadays,
I learned that early about hip hop, man. Like, I mean, growing up, I was a hip hop head. You know, I liked all the music. I liked all kinds of music, but I was a real hip hop head. And early on, when I was in Long Island battling, doing what I could do out here, recording, making music. But it wasn't until I like kind of stepped into the battle scene in New York City that I got a taste of what it was. And you know, it's funny, the homie Tone Deaf was talking about this on Instagram Live the other day. And it's like our generation, we were like the most, we were like the post-raucous rappers and producers that came out. And we were the most technically gifted of them all because we had everything at our disposal to learn from by that point. So like lyrically and production wise, we were way beyond these dudes, but none of these fucking dudes fucked with us. But very rarely did you get someone who had been on or put records out that would show you any love. They would kind of shit on people that came after them. That's how hip hop was. It was a fucking rat race. And I still see it. I see like the thirsty ass rappers. They go on your Facebook. I'm sure you'll see them. You'll see these thirsty-ass, dick-riding little rappers trying to come up. And it's such a bad look when I look at it. Like, if you're doing the slightest thing, if it looks like you're popping at all, everybody be hitting you up. Yo, man, I see you doing your thing. Yo. But you don't
see
people hitting each other up just trying to build genuinely without that. You know what I'm saying? And then you get the other side of the fucking spectrum where there's just people talking shit and shitting on each other, trying to get over and, you know, hitting up promoters. Nah, fuck that dude. Rock with me. You know, like, it's a real cutthroat bunch of fucking suckers. You know what I'm saying? You don't see that so much in the rock and roll world or other forms of music. It's more love being shown, more collaborative efforts, and people just trying to
trying to build their culture, I guess, so to speak. But that's hip hop for you. That's why I keep my fucking distance and just do my own thing, man. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Just keep doing your own thing, and you know, you got a good formula. You got a good fan base that's gonna support you every time you drop, and that's what it's all about. You know, you wanna
that's
have
it.
That as an artist. You know, man,
yeah.
I definitely want to thank you for coming on the show, and I know you got more projects coming out this year. I want to bring you back if that's cool, man. We definitely got to do it again because we had a great time, man, for real.
Yeah, man. I appreciate it.
Before we get out of here, what was that song that you had about Talent Valley?
Inequality.
Okay, yeah. I got that queued up, man. That'd be a great song to leave with.
Yeah,
but before we do leave with it, I want to give you the floor. You know what I'm saying? Let everybody know where they can follow you or book you for shows, all that stuff, man. The floor is yours, brother.
Yeah. Just you got Facebook. You can hit me up on my fan page. I check that shit pretty much daily. It's Diabolik. You'll see a picture of my fucking beautiful face on there. Pretty easy to find me. Instagram at Diabolik Hip Hop. My Twitter was at Diabolik Hip Hop, but that got shut down a couple weeks ago because some pussy on there reported me, named Talib Kweli. That's how hip hop is played now. That's how battle rap beef turns out. People report each other on Twitter. So I made a new Twitter on the low that I'll try to get off the ground again, and that is at Bolik, B-O-L-I-C, 631. You can find me there. Hit me up on any one of those. I'm always around.
Definitely. Thank you so much for coming on the show. We really appreciate it. And we look
Thank
forward
you for
to
having
next
me.
Time, man. Oh, yeah, no doubt.
Yep.
No doubt. It's an honor. All right, here we go, man. Inequality. Here it is.
Y'all thought they gave you fair warning, bitch. You should have listened. You know you done fucked up, right? Diabolik.
Ha, ha, ha. 1, 2, 3. Rest in peace, Talib Kweli. Crying like make it stop. That shit isn't hip hop. You ho.
I did some research. Read your piece, it needs work. Medium.com, the place you buy your t-shirts. I had a knee-jerk reaction while you fly and tremble petrified. Not only do you generalize, you lie in general. Down to my potential, cause my skin is white. Shit frightens your superpower, making sense of kryptonite. But don't doubt the fact, I'll show up at your crib tonight and hit you with a right for each thing you wrote I didn't like. Online picking fights, still pen and heck addressed it. Not for me, they stepped in so this bitch wouldn't get his head split. Then you said if I was sorry, you'd apologize. Followed by a convo about the boys been by the sodomized. Do not deny the truth, hope you asked for evidence. And that's the precedent you set when tech was at your residence. Now I'm addressing it to fill the part that's missing. And the part you skipped and all that kickstarter shit you started kicking. Disregard the fiction, I'm not the only artist living to fuck a few waters up. Doesn't mean they aren't shipping. I'm giving back to this culture and it's clear the only vultures that appear circle over your career. Yeah, you popped off once, stock dropped off, jump so severe your whole career's become a sophomore slump. Chump, I walked the crowded sidewalks and bedside, bumped shoulders and knocked this punk over just to get by. Then I meet Sway Sever at the back bar, the Black Star Show, wondering where the fuck the blacks are. Now you go on Twitter with the nerve to act hard. Your crowd's the same as one of Talladega watching NASCAR. You act hard, as far as rhyming a beat, you're too busy. Find a Khalees to hide behind when there's beef, you're too busy. With the scene telling lies in your tweets, if you a real Mr. Green, you do it live in the streets. Well, I'd make sure the prophecy still holds true. Stop fronting and drop something quality to go to. That's probably why you feel so obsolete and old school. And boat shoes, fresh off your shopping spree at Whole Foods. Your life's so cool and your French heels and neckerchiefs to lie. Fire cannons out of left field like Cespedes. When your homie Nico's left feeling pressed a bit in L.A., you do nothing. When he's what? And protect the kid. That's my regiment. So if I were trying to silence you, I would. Now shut the fuck up. It's what I would do if I were you. I'd find a crew like mine to squeeze around a time or two. Really hold your people down. I squeeze a clown to ride for you. But that's too loud for you. That's why my record player's playing respiration while every breath you're taking through a respirator. Shed and raise the light like neon gas. Don't need Benia singing to put Kweli on blast. Just throw a beat on. Won't see Sean, you're beyond.
that's where the war, so stop pretending. Admit it, you're just immature and condescending, cause we've seen this shit before, throwing fits when you're with Donald Lemon. A common end is any topic of discussion you're involved with. Obnoxious, you gossip, it's disgusting. Everybody's a nobody, so proper introductions. Guess what, nobody's bodying your knowledge and instructions. Honestly, it's nothing, but hang tough, don't forfeit. Who am I kidding? I just wanna bring up some more shit. You say stuff like, you should thank us for all this. Fine, thank you, Kweli, but bankrupt and raucous. Thanks for generalizing when it generally serves you. Sip it, eh? I get no remedy, Urkel. You nerds who twist words and deflect in these circles. Scared to look in the mirror, cause that reflection's eternal. Step in the lab with that aggression and spaz. I'll shit on you and wipe with the Confederate flag. Go to Twitter for support, the only weapon you have. But I don't care about those kids like most. Steph is a dad, toe tagged if we battle. You'll be dwelling on race. I'll smoke a blunt to the head. You'll take an L to your face. Cause to me, melanin's your least relevant trait. Before that, this petty pussy, frat, and selfish and fake. But wait, your revolutionary right, those are just rhymes. Cause real revolutionaries fight on the front line. So when it comes time for you to die, true indeed, this tune will be played on boomboxes at your eulogy.
One, two, three. Rest in peace, I live quietly.